but 5:15 in the morning, on his day off, when he doesn't have to speak, he's still here setting up in the morning. And then he makes it a point to tell me, make sure you schedule me to do something in the service. Now, this is his day off, and he still wants to do it. I really appreciate this guy. Pastor Scott is one of the people in my life who I've greatly come to respect. And I'm not just saying that because he's my boss, okay? I really do love this guy. He's my friend. Let me tell you something. It wasn't always that way. Okay? It wasn't always that way. I got your attention now, eh? But you have to listen to the message today because I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So now that I got your attention, I just want you to know that I do appreciate him. And no matter what I say later on, okay, remember that I love him. Yeah. I also want to thank my worship team who allows me to take the day off from that. You know, that's what doing church as a team is all about, is that when I have to come up here and speak, I tell you the truth. Public speaking is one of the worst things, the worst fears in my life. Even being up in front of crowds just terrifies me. It's a miracle that I'm here. That's the truth, okay? And if I had to do both of those this morning, I'd probably be a wreck by now. I already am, so I'm just letting you know, okay? But I just want to say I appreciate them as well. But it's now January 22nd. We have gone 3 weeks and a day into this new year, 2017. And Pastor Scott started off this year with a series called Great Beginnings. And in it, he taught us about things like devotions, commitment, fellowship, and ways to stay on track so that a great beginning can become a great finish. Now, I want to encourage you, if you have missed any of the 3 weeks or all of the last 3 weeks, then go online at revivalvistaway.com and click the tab that's entitled Sermons to listen to those. Because we don't want anyone to miss anything that God might have put in those messages that was just for you. And he had some really great things to share in those messages. Speaking of great things, how many of you want to do great things in this life? Good. Every hand went up. You know, I have never heard anyone say that my goal in life is to be mediocre or maybe a shade above average. Nobody says that. We all aspire towards greatness. And I believe with all my heart that God is the one who designed us that way. He did so when he placed his DNA inside of us. That's why we desire to do great things. Now, there are a lot of great things we can do in this life. We can achieve greatness in position. We can attain great wealth. We can accomplish great feats. Even in our spiritual walks, we can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. We can walk on water. Or maybe even preach a sermon that inspires people to do great things. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, he dedicated a whole chapter about the greater things, the spiritual gifts that we can have. But at the end of that chapter, after saying to eagerly desire the greater things, it's as if he stops. He pauses for a moment to say this. He says, but there's something greater than all these things. Something greater that you can do with your life to achieve true greatness. Starting in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, he says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, then I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Folks, what is the greatest thing that we can do with our lives? It's love. There's nothing greater. Love is what we were created to do. In fact, love is what separates us from the rest of creation. everything else in creation, you know how God created it? He spoke. That's what he did. He said, let there be light. He said, let there be animals. He said, let there be trees and birds of the air, beasts of the field, fish in the oceans. God said it, and it happened. That's how he did it. He spoke everything into creation except for one thing. His most prized, his most beloved creation. He did something different. What did he do? He breathed life into it. He placed his DNA into it, which 1 John tells us his DNA is what? Love. God is love. That's what separates us from everything else in all of creation, is that we, human beings, have the ability to love. The greatest ability of all. You want to be great in this life? Then learn to love. And not just learn it. Live it. People ask me all the time, you know, Aaron, if there's this loving God that you talk about, that you believe in, then why is the world so bad? My answer is very, very simple. You can use this one when people ask you that. Why is this world so bad? It's not because God does not love us. It's because we have forsaken loving him. And in turn, forsaken loving others. I believe with all my heart that you can trace back every act of injustice, every instance of grief and pain, every sickness. You can trace it back to a lack of love. And that's why this world is so bad. And Jesus said it would happen. He did. He said it would happen. He said, in the end times, the love of men would grow cold. Why? Because people choose to achieve greatness in other ways, forgetting the most excellent way. So it's going to happen. But here's another truth. Truth is that it doesn't have to happen here. Amen? It doesn't have to happen here, not in New Hope, East Hawaii. I say that we can be a people who remember what it is to be truly great. I say that we can be the light of the world when it comes to love. Let me hear an amen. We can. So I'll say it again. Do you want to be great in this life? Then learn to love. Don't just learn it. Live it. Over the next few 4 weeks, Pastor Scott and I will be doing this series on love. We'll be talking about what it is, what it isn't, and what it does. And then it's going to culminate on February 12th, 2 days before Valentine's Day. Just thought I'd throw that in so the men would not forget. Thank you. What is it? How come Valentine's Day is supposed to be the men who remember? Well, why is that? I'll tell you why. You know when God said the duties of the husband and the wife? He told the wife, submit to your husbands. And she went, oh Lord. But what did he tell the men? Love your wives. Love your wives. That's why men, we get to do these things. We get to be the first to love. I'll tell you what will happen if you do that. If you do that, it'll pass on. It'll pass on to her, it'll pass on to your kids. From your kids, it'll pass on to the community. That's how love lives. And that's what we get to do. So don't forget, okay? Valentine's Day coming up, guys. So what is love? Continuing in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. The only precise description of love that there is in the whole world says that love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. What is love? Love is simply two things. And if you're looking at your notes, usually I would have done a two-point message on this, but I decided to throw them in to the same point, only because you already got it. You already know what the answer is. How many of you, just like me, sit there when Pastor Scott is speaking and then we try to figure out all the answers before he does? You know how many times you get them wrong? So I just threw it into this one. Love is patience and kindness. These two things go together. They work hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Love is patience and kindness. That's it. But no way out. Love is not that easy. Love cannot be that easy. Love is magnanimous. Love is difficult. Love is complicated. You like that word, magnanimous? My big word for the day. The first time I used that word in a message was up at the big church. I forget where I heard it from, but I just thought the word was so cool I had to use it. Everybody made fun of me after that. They told me, that's one of Aaronisms, made up words. Then somebody went and looked it up and I had the last laugh. It's a real word. Magnanimous means huge, something big, something of epic proportion. Love is magnanimous. But it's not difficult. It's not complicated. Something does not have to be complicated or difficult to be great. And love is that way. Neither difficult or complicated. Do you know why we think it is? Because we've made it that way. We've made love difficult by adding laws and circumstances and conditions to it. That's why it's difficult. We've made love complicated by taking other things and other descriptions of it and saying, this is what love is. That's why it's complicated. Love is patience and kindness. Two simple things working together to create something beautiful. Let me ask you this. Have you ever met someone patient but not kind? How about someone very kind who has no patience? No, that doesn't exist, does it? I remember one time I was in KTA and we were in the express line, 10 items or less, and somebody was there with 11 items, and this guy in front of me just started grumbling and grumbling. And then he went up to the counter and he didn't like how the cashier handled everything that he had, and he started grumbling to her. And she looked at him and she said, "Man, you're impatient." And he said, "I'm one of the most patient people I know." And I sat there. I didn't say it. I wanted to. But I thought, man, then you don't know very many people. Patience and kindness go together. You can't have one without the other, can you? These two things move together as one to form the most powerful force in the universe. Now, if you don't believe me still, then try it. Try it. For 24 hours, treat everyone you contact with only patience and kindness. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done to you in the past, no matter what they're doing to you right now, no matter how they treat you, you treat them with patience and kindness. Watch what happens. Now, I don't know if it's a pastor thing, but like Pastor Scott, one of my biggest hang-ups is road rage. And I live right above the Life Care Center in Kawaimani, and every day I gotta go through that four-way stop. And I tell you, must get the worst drivers over there, because never fails. And I mean, I thank God when no more cars on the other two sides and I can go right through, because if there's even one car, he don't know how to do it, right? They never do. And I remember one time, I was at the four-way stop, and this car, I was stopped, and he was still coming, and he just cut me off, and oh, I got so angry. Lost patience right away. Kindness out the window. And I tailed him all the way down Kawaii Lani. every second that I'm following this guy, I'm getting more mad and more mad. And in my mind, he's trying to pull away from me, so I speed up. And I stay right on his tail. I think I even ran a red light down at the bottom of Carolina to follow him. And I stayed on him, and he kept trying to run away. I kept going after him, and I'm getting more mad and more mad. And finally, we come to another stoplight, and I get to pull up to him. And I put my window down, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Or at least tell him down and let him know I'm mad. And when I look at him, he turns, he looks at me, and he goes, "Hey, Pastor!" I didn't say anything to him, I just smiled. I have no idea who that guy was. And I haven't run into him since then. I'm glad for that. That was a day that I decided that things have to change in my life. That no matter how people treat me, whether they're right or they're wrong, I need to treat them with patience and kindness. Not because I'm Pastor Aaron, but because I'm a child of the King. And I get to treat people this way. You know, that'll happen all the time, where people just make us angry for whatever reason. But let me throw this out at you. What if we, as this little church in East Hawaii, for 24 hours decided that we would choose to treat people with patience and kindness, and just that, no matter what they were doing to us, no matter how they act or who they are, what if we did that? What if we came to the four-way stop, and no matter who cut us off, we would treat them with a smile instead of anger? What if we were the ones in that express line and somebody's ahead of us with 12 items instead of 10? Instead of turning to the person next to you and saying, "Man, somebody don't know how to count." What if we would say, "Even a beautiful day here in Hilo, Hawaii, aren't we lucky we get to live in the most beautiful place in the world?" What if we did that? What if we treated people that way, just for 24 hours? You know what would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. Especially with the dynamics of social media the way it is today, that would catch fire. We would impact the world. And that's the simple power of this thing called love. Why? Because love does not fail. Nothing can come against it. Look at Galatians 5 with me, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." I'll take a quick side note here, okay? I'm going to challenge you to do something. I challenge you to memorize this scripture. And I'll tell you why. Because people come up to the pastors all the time and they ask this question, and you might have this question in your heart dealing with a situation in your life. You ask, "How do I know I'm doing the right thing? How do I know I'm loving this person the right way?" This is how you know. The answer is this: does it bear this fruit? In everything that you do, does it bear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? If it does bear that, you're absolutely on the right track. If it doesn't, if it's bearing other things like anger and jealousy and hatred and impatience, if it's bearing that, then you know the answer. You're on the wrong track. Okay, getting back on track, back to the message. Against such things there is no law. That is why love cannot fail. We fail, we lose patience, and in doing so we act unkindly, but love does not fail. Now you might be saying this. You might be saying, "But what about the person who I keep on trying to love into the kingdom of God? But I'm losing patience because they just don't get it. They don't get it, no matter how long or how hard they try. If that's you, then I hear you, because there are plenty of people like that in my life. What about the person who hurt me so bad? I mean, you don't know what my brother, father, mother, friend did to me. How can you expect me to extend an ounce of kindness toward them? You know what I say to you? You're right. I don't know what they did to you. What about the person who takes advantage of my patience and kindness? What about that person who keeps doing things because they know that I'm supposed to treat them, or they say that I'm supposed to treat them with love, with patience and kindness? So what about them? You know what I say? I say, ouch, because I know that one all too well. And I said that love was simple, but I didn't say there weren't any challenges. So what about the person who I keep on trying to love but doesn't get it? Well, let me introduce you to my friend, Scott Shiroma. Remember I told you there was a time in my life that I did not like him? It was before I met him. In fact, I'll be honest, I hated this guy. Oh, I didn't think that was going to be funny, but that's the truth, okay? Take it with a grain of salt, because the reason why I did not like him was because I knew Christy Shiroma first. And I saw her go for 8 years praying for him, in tears, in anger sometimes, in hurt. You know, let me tell you a story of the first time that I actually met him, for real. We were up at the big church, and this was over 8 years later, probably about 9 or 10, but he was serving as the floor coordinator for a Father's Day service. I was going to a different church at that time. My dad just became the senior pastor at the big church. And he invited me to come and speak with him on Father's Day. So I went up there, and first time I get to speak in front of a big crowd, nervous as I could be, I failed miserably in the first service. Failed badly. Went over my time limit, missed the point. I don't think I made any sense at all that day. And then they have this thing, what was it called? The debriefing, right after the service. And I tell you, I got ripped in that one. Everybody was just pointed out everything I did wrong, hoping that I would get it right in the second service, except for one guy, the floor coordinator. He was encouraging to me, and he said, no, you can do better. He settled me on all my points, and he just loved me through one of the worst days of my life. And I fell in love with this guy. Only later to see him with Christy. And to think, oh my goodness, I'm such a bad person. Truth is that if Pastor Scott's salvation was pending upon the way that I felt, he wouldn't have a chance. Truth is that through patience and kindness of one little woman, I get to be served with him today in such a way. One of the men who I respect the most in my life. Never give up on anybody. That's the moral of that story. Never give up on anyone. The Apostle Peter, he put it like this. He said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The truth is that for all of us, if God was impatient and unkind to us, we'd be gone long time ago. We'd be gone long time ago. We'll never give up on anybody. Patience and kindness is where it's at. But what about the person who hurt you? Let me ask you this. Is the hurt that you feel bigger than eternity. Is the hurt that they caused you to have bigger than eternity? The reason why I ask you that is because I have officiated over many funerals in my 10 years as a pastor. And you'd be amazed at how many people leave this world holding grudges against their loved ones. How many sons, daughters, and parents live with the grief of not having spoken to the deceased for years because of something that was long past. Let me tell you something about the past. It's past. It's done. Nothing you can do to change it. I once attended one funeral where a father passed away, but his son had not spoken to him for 30 years. 30 years. It was something that he thought he did wrong. 30 years. This guy who passed away did not even know his grandchildren. Sad thing is, they live on the same island, this island. Let me ask you again, is that hurt bigger than that? Don't let it go to the grave. No matter what people do to you, treat them with patience and kindness. Watch what happens. Now what about the person who takes advantage of my love? I said it before that I know this one all too well. Whether it be someone who feels that you need to support the things they are doing, which are wrong, but they still think you need to support them, those things, if you say you love them. Or if it's someone who continuously steps on you to lift themselves up. No matter which person that is, what about them? Well, whenever these situations happen, whenever you're in these situations, listen to this. First of all, do not mistake patience and kindness for weakness. Don't mistake patience and kindness for weakness. Thinking that because if I'm patient and kind, if I love this person, they're going to see me as weak. They might. Never mind. It's not dependent about what they think. It's not dependent about what you know. And patience and kindness is not weakness. In fact, it's the other way around. Impatience and unkindness are for the weak. It takes no strength to do that. You got to be strong to be patient and kind. That's the truth. Just remember this, that love always endures. Love always endures. And I'm not going to belabor that point because Pastor Scott will be talking about that in the next few weeks. But likewise, do not mistake weakness for patience and kindness. Again, do not mistake weakness for patience and kindness. You see, love does not mean that we give in to what people are doing wrong. Okay, that's not love. That's weakness. For example, if someone comes up to you and says, give me $50, and you know that they're going to lose that $50 to buy drugs, giving in to them does not mean that you love them. That's not love. That's just enabling. And enabling is not love. Okay? Love sometimes has to stand strong in those situations. Patience and kindness does not mean that we give in. Sometimes patience and kindness depicts that you got to remove yourself from the presence, from that situation. Doesn't mean that you don't love them. It just means that it's not where we, not something that we can handle. It's letting go and letting God. That's love. Besides, we're not the ones who save. We're just the ones who extends God's patience and kindness, God's love to people. He does the saving. Amen? But loving all the time means that we are able to make the distinction between the person and the sin. That's why God can love us. Because he sees the wrong, and he sees the person, and he does not combine them as one. We do that sometimes, but God does not do that. Love means that we separate the person from the sin. Hate the sin, but love the person, no matter what. Amen? So what do you think about love now? Complicated? Not really. Challenging? Yes. But I challenge you to take that challenge, because love is the greatest thing that you can do. Love is the most important thing that you can do. Love is what we were created to do. Patience and kindness. Again, I challenge you. Take the 24-hour challenge. In fact, take the challenge for the rest of your life. To treat people with patience and kindness no matter what they do. Because that's what love is. Amen? Here's the bottom line. I'm going to leave you with this before I welcome up the worship team and ask Pastor Scott to come. The bottom line is this. Love is simple, but complicated. Amen. Pastor Scott.
And would you thank Pastor Aaron? Wow. That is so true. To be patient and kind takes a lot of strength, man. Thank you for that. I will practice that. That is so amazing. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for this message today of love. And I pray that it will just not enter our minds, but that we would practice patience and kindness as we show love. Because your word tells us that we are to love people. So help us, Lord, to be patient and kind. Not with just the ones that we love, but with everyone who comes across our path. Lord, help us to put this message into action. Let it enter our hearts and come out through our hands. And we thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.